All right, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I looked and it's been over a month since we've been in this. We've had one different thing and another, visiting a preacher and a Lord's Supper, and missed one week for snow, I think. So it's been a while, but we're going to get back to this. Now we're going to jump to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Now the last time that we preached about this, it was, I am carnal, sold under sin. And, you know, I tried my best to show that that is really misinterpreted by so many people. And it's so important because it changes everything about what a Christian is, about the Christian life, about what God does for you when you get saved. It changes everything when you miss that. And So I tried my best to show that that is absolutely not what Paul was saying, that he was carnal, sold under sin, that that was his lifestyle, that was his way of living, that was his condition as a saved person. That's wrong. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. And I don't care if they've been arguing about it for hundreds of years, thousands of years. I don't care. That you just cannot make any sense out of that. Now the first verse here in Romans chapter 8 talks, listen to what it says. There is therefore now. All right, you see that little word now? Well, why does he do that? Because he was talking in past tense in Romans chapter 7. And he explained how it all was. That's the way it is when you're lost. And then I thought of this also, and I just want to throw this out there before we move on into this. I'm not going to preach on this tonight especially, but here's the deal. When Paul said in verse 14 of chapter 7, I am carnal, sold under sin, but I am carnal, sold under sin. If he was talking about his present condition, here's what he meant, and here's what he was saying. He was saying, just like we say, if it weren't for the grace of God, I would be. You know, the next verse says, for in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Yeah. We know that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's what he was saying is, me, myself, what I've got to bring to the table in this matter with God is nothing. This is what I am without God. But he's not without God. That's why he said, who shall deliver me? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And then he said, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Comma. There's no comma before that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now we know who he's talking about. The subject of this verse. Who's he talking about? Saved people. That's it. That's who he's... There's no condemnation to who? People that are saved. Now, and then the rest of it explains and describes how these people live. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You get it? All right. The message is clear here in this verse. There's no comma after condemnation, as in, so it's one phrase, you see. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The next phrase describes the subject of the first phrase, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, it's very plain to see that those who are in Christ Jesus do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The rest of the chapter just sledgehammers it over and over and over again and again and again. That this is the way it is. There's a grand difference between being a Christian and being an unregenerate sinner, a carnal person. A carnal person and a Christian are the polar opposites. They're not one and the same. And you can't mix them up. There is no such a thing as a carnal Christian. You know anybody that wants to argue about that? Send them to me. I'll explain what I'm talking about to them. And the whole point of this is so that you can answer these people. Because 999 out of 1,000 so-called Christians out there are going to argue with you about it. They're going to say there is too a carnal Christian. I'm one of them. They've heard it so much. 99 out of 100 or more preachers will say there is such a thing as a carnal Christian. There is not. Well, there's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, we can talk about that, but we ain't got time tonight. That is not what that's about. That does not teach that there are carnal Christians. Paul said, I had to talk to you like I was talking to a lost person. I had to speak unto you as unto carnal. What are you? Are you still lost? Why are you acting like this? Have I been fooled about you? Have I been deceived? Have I been wrong about you? Anyway, those who are in Christ Jesus do not walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. And therefore, nobody can imagine that this verse is saying that walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh is just two options that every Christian has. That is not what that verse is saying. Some people say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. It's like there's no condemnation to the Christians who walk after the Spirit, but there is to those who walk after the flesh. There's no such thing as a Christian who walks after the flesh. You're not in the flesh. Yet they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. On and on and on. We could go like we did the last time we preached in here about this in Romans chapter 7. You know, I read you verse after verse after verse after verse that was just slams it to the ground and says, no, how can you imagine such a thing? Same thing here. There is no, it is not an option. You don't, it's not that everybody gets saved by saying that prayer and getting baptized and then you're on your way to heaven and some do right and some don't. Some walk after the flesh and some walk after the Spirit. You're going to walk after the flesh and then step into heaven? No, sir. Going to walk after the flesh and claim that Christ has regenerated you and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and you're going to present your unholy body to God as a living sacrifice? I don't think so. No, won't work like that. Our walk is our way, our manner of life, so that or what our life is about. It is either after the flesh or after the Spirit. Now you, every one of you tonight, and everybody that hears this, all of us, we're either walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh. And you need to get it clear in your mind what this means. You know, everybody wants to nitpick and everybody wants to watch and say, ah, see there, they. One thing means they're walking after the flesh. Or one thing means they're walking after the Spirit. No, don't be childish in your reasoning and in your spiritual understanding. Don't be a child and don't act like a child. Grow up and get a view of this thing so you can understand and have some discernment and so you can judge yourself. Everybody ought to judge yourself and quit judging everybody else. You ought to quit worrying about what everybody else's condition is because you can't do one thing about it. You ought to try preaching for a few years. You'd learn that. You can't do nothing about nobody. It's what I was talking to you the other day about. Have you ever tried to change anybody? Have you ever tried lately to convince anybody that they're wrong about anything in their life? Pretty hard to do. So you think this is going to be a breeze just walking around saying, hey, you're walking after the flesh. You need to. Discerning everybody else, better go look in the mirror and just better be looking in our own heart. Better be reading the Word of God and looking at ourselves in that mirror and judging ourselves. Our walk is identified by what we live for and what motivates us. Now you need to think about that. What are you living for? What is it that motivates you? What is the most important thing in your life? What do you think about the most? What do you spend your mental power on and strength and energy? What do you spend your physical energy and everything on? What do you dream about? What is your aspirations, your goals for life? You're looking down the road 40 years from now, where do you want to be? What do you want to have accomplished? Is it all about earthly things? Is it all about accomplishing and acquiring and all of this? Or are you concerned at all about the kingdom of God? Are you concerned about souls? Do you look into the future and want to get down the road and realize that you've done something for the kingdom of God? You've influenced some life toward God. You want to have that in your future, or are you more concerned about laying up treasures here on earth? Or some other earthly goal? Well, we're talking about walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit. It's identified by the things and the people with which we associate ourselves. We can tell if somebody's walking after the flesh or after the Spirit by the kind of people they want to be around and associate themselves with. Yeah. Ain't too many walking after the Spirit. Let me tell you that right now. They ain't. If they were, they would seek out and associate themselves, and they wouldn't be ashamed of it, with people who are also walking after the Spirit. They would be seeking after holy companionship. And they'd be looking, and they wouldn't be despisers of them that are good. And they wouldn't be critical and judgmental and hateful toward people who are trying to live right. And people who say that the way is narrow and the gate is straight, they wouldn't be so critical and hateful toward people like that. People who are walking after the flesh. You can mark that one down. It's identified by where the affections of the heart lie. Jesus said it real plain. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so there you go. I mean, that's where what you love is where your heart is going to be focused. It's identified by what comes out of our mouth by way of our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our conversation, our vocal conversation, our words, what we like to talk about. You ever get around people that you don't talk to them for no time till the subject is on the things of God, spiritual matters, the Word of God? Then there's other people that, all they want to talk about is hunting, fishing, cars, trucks, whatever. Anything but that. And you can't keep them on that subject. You might bring them into it and they might say a few words, but then it's right off into something else again. People who walk after the Spirit, they're going to want to talk about the things of God. Because that's what they're about. That's what's on their mind. That's where their heart is. That's what is motivating and guiding their life. It's identified by the place and authority we give to Christ in our life. Now we know, I'm just giving you a roadmap here to figure out if you're walking after the Spirit or if you're walking after the flesh. What place does He have in your life? How much authority does He have in your life? Does He get to deny you anything? Do you look to Him for guidance and approval before you leap? Or do you just do what you want and expect Him to come along behind you and help you if you get in a mess? Our walk cannot be after the flesh and after the Spirit because they're completely opposed to one another. You cannot do both. You can't do both. It's either or. Now, if you're saved, you'll walk after the Spirit. If you're lost, you'll walk after the flesh. That's just the way it is. To walk after the flesh is to be completely guided and led and carried by carnal desires and a carnal mind. It's not just carnal desires. It's that mind that has been trained and brainwashed and programmed by a life of sin. A life of walking after the flesh. Your mind has become, it's become the nature of your mind to think that way. To reason that way. To approve all of that. You see, you remember when we talked about the heart and the mind and the will and all of that? And I told you how that the heart and the mind have to agree. They have to come to an agreement. They have to consent one to another. And so you're either, the heart has these desires because of the things of the world that are appealing, and the mind just works on what's true and false. And your mind will give in to your heart, and finally, you know, what's the word I use? I can't even remember now. I'm just tired. Your mind will agree with your heart finally and just yield and say, okay, all right. But you're not going to act until your mind and your heart agree. Now your mind is going to be, if your mind fixes on the truth and refuses to budge, your heart must be converted and before it will consent with the mind to follow God. So one way or the other, you're going to walk after the flesh or you're going to walk after the Spirit, the truth, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that guides us into all truth. You see? So it's your mind as well as your heart. It's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. In other words, walking after the Spirit is not just keeping the law, obeying the commandments. That's not walking after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit has more to do with the motive than it does the results and the consequences and the fruits of it. When your purpose of life is to satisfy carnal desires, you're walking after the flesh. To walk after the flesh is to live for the same things as people without God do. That's a pretty good way to gauge yourself. Is your life about the same thing as their life's about? They're without God and without hope in the world. They don't even consider God. He doesn't even enter into their thoughts. Until they get in big trouble, then they'll say, oh God. Or they'll say, please pray for me. But until then, it's fully on God. This is my life. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to experience everything. I'm going to be with the crowd. I ain't going to have them calling me names and treat me like I'm some kind of a fool. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be part of them. But then when you get in trouble, they need God. Are you like that? I mean, think about it. Is your life about the same things as their life is? Every new fad that comes along, do you have to have it just like they do? The fashions, the gadgets, the everything of the world. Do they show it to you and it flames you up just like it does them? I gotta have it, man. I gotta have one of them. Yes, sir. I need that. You got to keep up with the Joneses? Can you really just not have what they have and be good with it? Well, that's the difference. See? If your life is about and it's driven by the same things that they have, lost people, ungodly people, their life is about, your life's about the same thing their life's about, you're walking after the flesh. Ain't no doubt about it. When your purpose of life is to satisfy carnal desires, it's walking after the flesh. To work to obtain the necessities of life is not to live after the flesh. The Bible teaches about if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And the Bible talks about that. Working, laboring with your hands and making money, but what for? What does the Bible say that you're supposed to do that for? So that you'll have to give to him that is in need. God said, don't you worry about you. Jesus said, don't take no thought for tomorrow. What you eat, drink, what you put on. I'll take care of you. You have your needs met. Don't fret about that. But what did he say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this be added to you. So walking after the flesh, making a living is not walking after the flesh. You got to understand that. We got to work. I got to work. So does everybody else here. That ain't walking after the flesh. But when your life becomes about that, I mean, if that's what it is, to make that the purpose of your life, That's walking after the flesh. Ain't no job, ain't no career, ain't no kind of thing in the world ought to get a hold of you so that that's your purpose for living. Your purpose for living, if you're a Christian, is Christ and His kingdom and His righteousness. And you're living to win souls. And I'm not talking about like we've always heard about. You know what I'm talking about. It ought to make a difference. Your life ought to make a difference in this world. And you ought to be leaving something behind you besides a trail of junk that you've labored and paid for and piled up in a pile. In Galatians chapter 5, we're given the manifestations of both the flesh and the spirit. This speaks of what is produced outwardly by walking after the flesh or walking after the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh are manifest and the fruit of the spirit. So we're going to talk about that a minute because that kind of sheds light on it. What I'm trying to get across to you tonight here is just an understanding of what it means to walk after the spirit or to walk after the flesh. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, do you see how that they don't go together? You can't walk after the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, "If walk in the Spirit, and ye shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, that's the Bible. "For the lust, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." All right, now if anything ought to be clear out of these verses, this is the way it ought to be. The fact that you can't do both at the same time is made very clear right there. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You understand what the word lust means there? You understand what it means? Desire. Put that in there. Desire. The flesh, the desire of the flesh, is against the desire of the spirit. You got this two desires, and they're contrary one to the other. So that you can't do that which you would. Well, what does it mean? Well, everybody reads that and they think, well, see there, you nobody can do right. They fall back to Romans chapter 7, verse 14, where we were talking about a while ago, and they say, see, that's the way it is. The best you can hope for in your Christian life is just having a desire to do good, but you're never going to be able to because we're all sinners and we got this sinful nature, you know, and we're in this old flesh. And you've heard the argument over and over and over. That's modern devil doctrines of devils. It's modern theology that's corrupt. And the devil has put all kinds of poison in it. That is not true. It's not what this verse means. Anybody that's whose mind would clear up enough for 10 seconds, you could see what this means. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. But there's another verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, who's in you if you belong to God? Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's the victor here? Who's the vanquished? Who's the loser? Who's the one that lives in defeat? Well, not the Christian. The Holy Spirit of God lives in him. He's got Christ. He's led by the Spirit. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So if a person is saved, they've received the Spirit of God, and their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit is the dominating power in their life. That's why it says in Romans chapter 6, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." And on through all of these chapters that we're talking about here, that truth is just pounded and pounded and pounded. so that you cannot do the things you would. Almost everybody is prejudiced to think of this as meaning that I can't do the good things that I would and always end up doing the evil. Back in Romans chapter 7 again. But that's exactly the opposite of the way that it ought to be understood. Why do you jump to that instead of jumping to the other side? It's saying both. The spirit lusts against the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. All right? Both ways. So that you can't do the things that you would. Why don't people understand, well, God lives in me. The Holy Spirit of God lives in me. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. What's the earth born of God overcometh the world. On, and I just keep quoting verses. But why don't you realize what the Bible teaches and then think, you know, what that really means? That means that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So the spirit that lives in me means that I can't do the things that the flesh would want to. You know, the things I used to do. When I walked after the flesh, can't do that no more because the Spirit of God lives in me. His desire in me is greater and overrules the desire of the flesh that would, and the heart, the desire of the heart to do evil. Why does people take it the wrong way? Because it's convenient to do it that way. It justifies their walking after the flesh. Is it true? You know, in the true Christian walk, we're constrained by the love of God and guided by the Spirit of God. And those evil things we would otherwise do, we can't do that anymore. The things that I otherwise would do without the Spirit of God, there we go again, what I was talking about in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. You know, I'm carnal, soul, under sin. Well, if he's talking about himself right now, that's what he means, without God. If it were not for the grace of God. If not for the grace of God. But we do have the grace of God. We do have the Spirit of God living in us. So it just doesn't go that way. We're not alone. We're not left in the flesh. You're not in the flesh. It's so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. It's not that way anymore. We've been delivered. We've been converted. We've been changed. All things passed away. All things become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You can't keep laying claim to being just like you always was if you're saved. If you are just like you always was, if you are still defeated all the time and you're walking after the flesh, you're still lost. You've never yielded your heart, your soul. You never yielded to God. It actually speaks of both sides being unable. Because of the lust, that desire of the flesh, the unregenerate cannot do good. Go back in Romans chapter 7, read that again. That's talking about an unregenerate person. They want to do good, but they can't. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The Spirit strives with them, but they won't. But the flesh overrules. They're unregenerate. They're carnal. They've got a carnal mind. They've got a carnal desires that they live by. The saved person, because of the desire, lust of the Spirit. Spirit lusteth. What about that? The Spirit desires. Because of the desire of the Spirit that lives in them, he is restrained from doing the evil that is presented to him as a temptation. Now that's just the way it is now. Who is going to argue with that? That a Christian has to yield to temptation because he has no power to resist. When you know the Bible tells us that he'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but with every temptation he'll make a way of escape. You can not only survive, you can conquer. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can prevail. You can come out victorious every time. You can. There's a way to escape. Now, these are the results of walking after the flesh when it comes to fruition. In Galatians chapter 5, it tells us, in verses 19 through 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, they're very easy to see. They're revealed. This is what they are. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, Well, we got a lot of that in these days. All these, mercy, uncleanness is a big deal right now in this degenerate society we live in. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Oh my, you can preach for months on this. Variance, emulations, that means competition. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, do you understand that that means they are not going to heaven? So they are not saved. People who live in this kind of sin, the people who do these things, and that is a continual doing. They live in continual, habitual this. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to heaven. They're lost. The Bible says so very plainly. These things do not define walking after the flesh. However, walking after the flesh is revealed by these things. You understand what I'm saying to you? You walk after the flesh, this is what you're going to do. Doing these things don't constitute walking after the flesh, because you do these things because of a carnal mind that is a servant to a carnal heart, a fleshly heart. It's after the things of the world, the lust of the flesh. A carnal mind will lead a person to do these things. So these works of the flesh are the evidence of a person who's walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. It's evidence. You can look at this. If this is what a person is, then they're a carnal person. They're walking after the flesh. Nobody who does those things is walking after the Spirit. Now listen to me. I'm going to be quick here and I'm going to be done. I just got a little bit, but I want you to really get this, because it's important to understand. The same is true of walking after the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, same chapter, we'd have to back up because he gave these first. But in 16, verse 16, chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So these things do not define a spiritual person either. But these things will be the result of walking after the Spirit of God. And again, in these verses, we see the flesh put on one side and the Spirit on the other side, and the fact made clear that they do not coexist as most people think. The fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh do not go together. Can't be. All right, and if you're walking after the Spirit, if you're not walking after the Spirit, you are walking after the flesh, and time will reveal it eventually by the manifestations of the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. And listen, also, it is worth noting here that it says works of the flesh, and it's a list of transgressions. You notice that? Works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then it lists a whole bunch of transgressions, a whole bunch of them. But it says here that the fruit of the Spirit is singular. The fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit. It comes in a package. It's all there. And here's the deal. See, the works of the flesh may be practiced individually. You know, an adulterer might not be a thief. He is, really. I mean, when you want to pare it down and all of that. But here's my point. You can practice each of these works of the flesh individually, but you can't have the fruit of the Spirit that way. You might have some of a saved person will have all of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. They'll all be there. The fruit of the Spirit. He won't have joy and love and peace and then be so strife and do this and adultery and a few other things over there. No, can't be that way. The fruit of the Spirit will be the whole thing. An unsaved person may manifest one or more of the works of the flesh and some of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know that's right. There's people that commit some of those terrible sins listed in the works of the flesh. But they have some of the traits, some of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, but not all of them. That's just in the disposition and character of people. Some of them are gentle. Some of them can be good, meek. Some of them can be temperate in things. They sure can, because it's to their benefit. But an unsaved person, it makes it easier for them to be deceived about their standing before God that way. Do you understand what I'm getting at? An unsaved person may manifest one or more of the works of the flesh and some of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, and that makes it easier for him to be deceived about his soul, because he says, well, now look, I've got some good here, and I know I got a little bad over here, but I got some good. Don't that count for something? No, sure don't. Not with God, it don't. You can go back to the Old Testament in Ezekiel and you can read about a righteous man. If a wicked man, living in his wickedness, if he dies in it, he's lost. But if he repents and of his wickedness and does righteousness, if he turns from it and does right, he'll live. But if a righteous man dies, if a righteous man turns to wickedness, and then, he'll die. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's the way Ezekiel paired it out there. Continuing. It makes it easier for a lost person to be deceived. Because they look at their good works, and it's got to count for something. Your kids do that to you too. Everybody acts that way. They can be as a rotten wretch of a person. And they'll go so far till they just about ain't got nobody, and then they'll do a little bit of good. They'll do a little bit of good, thinking that makes them points so that to make up for their bad. People do that too. They'll do some good to earn points so they can do some bad and get away with it. They just try to keep a balance and keep everybody, but it just doesn't work that way with God. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation from God. You don't feel condemned by God when you're walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Because you know you're doing what pleases Him. This idea that Christians have nowadays, and they try to teach to everybody else, is that you ought to just feel guilty and rotten and lower than a snake in a snake in a wagon rut or whatever, No, man, where in the world does that come from? You're supposed to be right with God. Your sin's forgiven. You're supposed to be walking with God. You're supposed to have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain help and grace to help in time of need. You're supposed to... The veil's rent in the temple from top to bottom. The way into the Holy of Holies made open for us. We're welcomed into God's Holy of Holies. We're not supposed to be scared to death because we're so rotten and He's just going to get us anytime. No, that's the way of a sinner. That's the way it is when you're walking after the flesh. When you're walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. No, that means judgment. I mean, impending judgment. Condemnation includes guilt. There's no guilt. You don't have to feel afraid of God. Now, the fear of God, we have a holy fear, but it's a respect more than, I mean, you need to understand it that way. You got any kind of concept of God at all, you'll have reverence for Him and respect, fear. But not the kind that Jesus said when you prayed, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. That was a strange thing to those people back then, calling God our Father. A closeness. Abba, Father. That speaks of closeness and peace and a close relationship with confidence. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation from God. There's no condemnation from your own heart. If our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart. He's talking about when we're lost, walking after the flesh. There's no condemnation. Your heart don't condemn you when you're right with God and walking with God. You're not proud and lifted up and thinking, man, I've got something here. I'm doing something. No, you're humbled and aware of your unworthiness, but you're thankful for God's mercy and kindness and His love towards you and the fact that you can approach Him. Amen. With confidence. So this promise is exclusively for those who walk after the Spirit. No condemnation. He's talking about people who walk after the Spirit. You walk after the flesh, you're going to have condemnation. You're going to be one that goes around, don't judge me, about everything. Because you're going to always feel like people are judging you because you're doing wrong, because your own heart is condemning you. No condemnation. If you're feeling condemnation and you're living under condemnation, you're not walking after the Spirit. Those who walk after the flesh are excluded and are under condemnation still from God and from their own conscience. And there's no way any person can read this one verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and believe that a Christian can walk in carnality and sin. There's just no way. Not if you're honest. Not if you're a sensible, reasonable person. If you got any knowledge of the rest of the Bible at all, you cannot read this verse and imagine that you can be a Christian and carnal. You can be a Christian and walk after the flesh. You can be a Christian and be worldly. Love the world. If you know, there's just, you're either dishonest or ignorant, or you're just plain old evil if you think that that is the truth. Now that's for everybody here. That's for everybody else that might listen to it somewhere else. That's a fact. A person whose purpose of life is to gratify corrupted desires and has a carnal mind that reasons so that he can do that and live that way, he cannot be a true Christian according to the Bible. No, sir. Did you hear me? Do I need to repeat that? If your purpose of life is to gratify corrupted desires and you have a carnal mind that reasons so that you can do that, justifies you in doing it, reasons it out so, well, now, if they do that, then me doing this ain't so bad. If you got that kind of a mind, ain't no way a person like that can be a true Christian according to the Bible. You just need to read the Bible. You need to read all of it. You need to study it. You need to get the whole counsel of God. And you know, and everybody here and everybody else that might listen, you need to quit listening to all these yahoos on the internet and everywhere else. Listening to, you know, you just go around picking all over the place, you're going to get a bunch of poison in you. There's a bunch of kooks out there. There's a bunch of confused people out there. There's a lot of people out there that's preaching and teaching that do not understand. They're just repeating what they've read out of a book or what somebody else taught them or their own experience that they've never experienced real salvation. Now, you better be aware that that's what you're going to be listening to a lot when you listen to everybody out there. need to draw in the circle. I was talking last night to somebody, and I mentioned this again to them. You know, we've been talking about it, but, you know, years ago, before all this social media and before all this networking and before all this stuff where we're all tied together and everything, you went to a church, and that's about all you heard. Yeah. You didn't hear different versions and opinions and ideas and doctrines. It made for a better life for everybody. More stability, less confusion, more certainty. That's why everything stayed more together for so long until now. And look, I was reading a while ago a news article. It said that there's about 100 churches a day closing in America. Said there was somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 churches a year closing. It's more than 100 a day. I think it was an hour. That's why it said it. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. It said that less than 20% of Americans attend church faithfully. Think about that. They said that, you know, it used to be that America was known as a Christian nation, but that's not true anymore. I guess Obama was right. It's not a Christian nation anymore. We really can't call it that, can we? Said everywhere this Sunday, there'll be little small crowds meeting in these big old churches where there used to be a big crowd. And they're struggling to pay the bills and keep the lights on. And so they're closing one after another. Just bang, 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 bang. Lights going out. Because, well, a lot of reasons, but one of the basic reasons is it's the people of God's fault for not just believing the truth and preaching the gospel like it is. It is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But how are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? So here we are. Everybody's preaching about sex and prosperity and health, making money and other stupid stuff. Yes. And the whole thing is going down the drain. Now, I don't see any changes on the horizon. So I told Mike last night, I said, you better get it in your mind that from here on out, it's going to get lonelier and lonelier. Mm-hmm. Yep. The whole thing's given to idolatry. And everybody's joining up with that. And we're very close to the end of it all. So, you better just get a hold of the truth. You better buy the truth and sell it not. You better believe the truth when you hear it. And then order your life according to the truth. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. You need to figure out what that's about. Figure out if you're doing it or not. What your life really is. Well, who are you? Where are you with God? Better make sure. If you're walking after the flesh, your soul is in trouble. If you're walking after the Spirit, you know it. Yep. Amen. All right, well, stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. I do appreciate the truth. I appreciate your revealing to us these things that are so important and so true. I just pray that you'd make the understanding clear where I didn't. And Lord, help people to hear and to understand and to apply the truth to their life. Here we are, Lord, coming down to the last of this whole thing. And I sure pray. I pray, Lord, for mercy for these that hear. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work in their hearts and that they would yield to you and give, and just as we always said back yonder in the old days, sell out to God, lock, stock, and barrel. Yes. Please go with us now and work in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen.